brain diamonds.
Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still
Shy with the little tune she put music to. Paul, my road. George Kaffney. Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show that where I pretend. Someday I'll have other lines. tonight is a tribute show. We choose a poet that's been hanging with us a while and to appreciate their rights and their writings and their contribution to all poetry. Tonight is Dave Prophet. Dave's here with me. And what we'll do, we had other poets go through his vault, his files of poems, and choose their favorites. What we do is they post them onto our page, our show page, and we have Dave read them. Go back this way, the poems that are written and seen once are not buried forever. We bring them back up to appreciate them one more time. With me is my little sister, my friend, my partner, Deborah Lee. She's in the back doing the heavy lifting, so I can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you. It's Deb.
My pleasure.
Dave Prophet is here with me in the studio also. How you doing, Dave?
I am doing great. I'm so flattered to be on this show and to be the featured writer, I guess, or poet, or whatever you want to call me. But I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be great. I'm going to really enjoy this. So,
yeah, it's a good idea. ever had to, like I said, summarize, especially some of your better stuff, gets exposed maybe once, twice during the week that you post it,
yeah.
And then it's not read again, not seen. So this is a way to recycle some of the better rights, and I think it's a great idea.
I do, too. I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah,
I think
but
it's
we have a number of them.
I think it's also a cool way for people to realize what of their work people are drawn to. And by seeing what other people choose for read, it tells them, you know, what they like. And, before I rattle on, Stephen and or Kay are here. Welcome to
great.
The show.
Stephen.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you guys.
So right off, are you guys in a rush?
No.
No, we got about half hour, 45 minutes. I do have to get up in the morning, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Wow. Yeah, we're just going over, I'm going to take a look at how many pieces we got to read tonight. We'll pick a fair amount. I even wrote a new one for you, Dave, that I'll read to you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Me too.
Three, four, five. Well, we got a few. This process goes a little further than the usual.
Yeah,
show,
I see that.
That you'll be reading them and commenting and maybe get some inspiration of what brought it on, this kind of thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. How's Stephen and Andrew Kay and my Mrs. Nemesis tonight?
Doing all right.
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Tired.
Yeah, you worked all weekend.
Hard day.
Yeah.
You cooked 150 some boobs today.
There you go.
Yeah. Did I just get unmuted? I'm muted. Okay.
Well, I hear you.
We're
all unmuted. Should I just say none of us are muted?
Okay. I did that once. I think it was to Andy.
I'm unmuted.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. See, you just said it.
Unmuted.
Say that sound like it. Anyway, back then I did. Okay. Deborah, did you start us off?
Okay, mine's up there if you want to click on it.
Sure.
And
Dave, you want to... Is this a new one?
This is a new one that is just for Mr. Profit. Well, kind of just for Mr. Profit. You'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. It's called To Boldly Soar Into Space to Score. Here we go. Dave travels in his sleep, scouring the cosmic plane, leaving contrails of stardust like a singed gunpowder stain, mixed in with the sweet cologne of Dark Mother's cotton candy rain. They journey over the constellations, skinny dip on swims in the black hole, then salsa on the Big and Little Dippers, and neath Saturn's 82 moons they stroll, tallying up the glittering zirconium stars on the skyline canopy tinted black like coal. Dark Mother chaperones him by day in silence. By night, she chauffeurs Dave around this galaxy, hopping planets like bullfrogs hop lily pod pads, flying in nebulous lights flashing in a licorice sky sea, body surfing on space breezes with his space chick. Just two lovers entangled, weightless, at zero gravity. And
oh man, that's great, Deborah. Thank you. Wow, you really know the Dark Mother probably better than anybody else, I think. You've heard about her more than anybody else, that's for sure.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah. Now this is really, you really did good for this, Deb. Wow. You know.
What do you think of that photo, Dave?
Huh? Yeah,
what
I like that
photo. What do you think of this photo I found? It's sort of dark.
I like it.
Outlined. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I tried to space it and shape it a little so it was like she was put on a pedestal because, like, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion, that's where you have her sitting. And
yeah, I do.
And I don't really – I'm not worried about comments because it's Dave's – it's about all about Dave. The only reason I wanted to go with that one first is because I wanted to – show you that I knew how important she was to you, or that, you know, we all do. And also
mm-hmm.
one of the requested poems that I put on the board was, is your Dark Mother an introduction? And I thought it would be
yeah.
a perfect 1-2 punch for the beginning of the show. So
yeah,
I'm
I
very
think
glad
that, was a
that
great
you liked
idea.
It. And if you would go ahead and take us away with the Dark Mother, I'm handing the mic back to my big brother.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave, I was going to explain a little about the Dark Mother, which is in most of your rights, I believe.
Yeah, well, a long time ago, when Michelle, or Evening Star, and I used to write our collaboration, we did a lot of space stuff, and we were doing a halftime show, as you remember, on Deb's Sizzle of Sensuality deal. And anyway, Michelle and I got to talking about it. I used to call her up on the phone all the time. We'd talk fresh around ideas about the collabs and stuff. And I told her, I said, you know, I had to come up with some sort of a queen or something or a character for the universe. And she goes, yeah, that's a good idea, Dave, you know. And so what started out, I come up with the Dark Mother idea. I don't know where the title came from, but that's what it was. And I introduced her to Michelle first, and she didn't quite know what to think of that, but after a while she got used to it. And then we put it into a collaboration. We put it over on Deb's show, and we read it, and Deb says, "Who's this Dark Mother?" You know, and I said, "Oh, that's a brand new character," and I just kept recycling her back through all the poems. And I don't know, I think if you develop a character, I think it's kind of fun to, you know, run them in and out of your poetry, and it shows some coherence and some, it's kind of a linkage, you know. I don't know, that's just the way I think about it. But, and Deb was so good with the Dark Mother, you know. That's where she came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, it's imagination, inspiration, all that. It's all good.
Yeah.
So, she pretty much, you know, I went through some information about what the question was. If he asked her, what does space smell like? What does outer space smell like? And those
yeah.
that had traveled into space, they when they get into, I think, into the capsules of the space station, and what do they smell? They say it's like a seared steak, like burnt.
Oh, really?
Meat.
Mm.
I always wondered residual from traveling so fast, the heat of the station that they're on, or the vehicle that they're on. Maybe that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's
interesting.
Well, yeah, it is. And I started thinking about that myself. And I thought, you know, I bet you space kind of smells a little gunpowdery. And then there's a process that goes on out in space in some of these Magellanic clouds and stuff where alcohol is actually processed. It's a form of ethanol. And it's a big, long polymer chain
yeah.
that's manufactured out there in space. And so I got the idea of, okay, let's see. Well, if an alcohol is a hydrocarbon, and I thought, well, let's make it a little bit sweet. Well, okay, candy's a hydrocarbon, sugar's a hydrocarbon. So that's where I come up with that cotton candy and gunpowder deal, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, you would think there's a lot of methane, a lot of sulfur. I would have guessed sort of maybe a sulfur smell.
Yeah.
The freaks of this are believing there is a planet out there, or a moon. I can't remember if it's a planet or a moon that rains diamonds. It's because it's a carbon.
That's
carbon. But if we had that, no diamonds would be worth anything, right?
That's right. It'd be as common as gravel. You know.
So, you went to.
I got the Dark Mother's introduction on the board. Do the introduction poem, and then we'll move on to Mr. and Mrs. Stephen and Kay.
Okay. Well, Deborah was kind enough to send me this brand new picture of the Dark Mother that I didn't have, and she said, "I don't know if you have this or not, Dave, but you might like it." Well, of course I like it. This is a really good one, and so I wrote this one. It's called The Dark Mother, an Introduction. So it came to pass in the year of our Lord, 2021, my introduction of the Dark Mother to everyone. Cosmic in her beauty to mere words outrun, her binary black hole space-time shotgun, its smoking muzzle of cotton candy and gunpowder, diameter dosages are even louder, her renditions of every woman that ever was, quintessential poetess of the cosmos, because she is all things to me. She longs to see what it is to be human through her 700 nanometer lumen. Her assassin's cologne caresses my nose from the space-time curvature of her pretty toes. Photons racing beneath ebony undertoes, dark matter skin coronas in liquid licorice glows. For I fear I have become her bow. Her crushed darkness overflows. She loves me with the fury of Sirius. Her eyes in 532 nanometer Sirius are tears when we're not together, elixirs of her blue-shifted interstellar weather. She sings in long-wave RF ululations for her love for me in these incantations. Her rhyme and meter in periwinkle synchronicity to the Lord's time signatures inside his canonicity. She sings to the stars in red-shifted intimacy, all the while she makes love to me. Her quasars funneled inside capped bottles, lanterns casting her light inside black holes, red-shifted from gold into mahogany poison, blue-shifted infinity inside the singularity's prison. David, I love you, my man. Only you truly understand what's inside my heart, still simplistic from its start. Her dark energy lips, a synchronous mesmerizing hips, struts her stuff in megaparsecs, eddies whirling in stardust codec. You like what you see, my man? Soft laughter and octave undertows. She's a quick study of humanity. Her flowing dark mane in starlit vanity. I love her so. End poem.
Dark Mother.
That's Dark Mother.
Now, well, I thought that was a perfect one to bring, don't you think? Because it's like how they went backwards in Star Trek and then told the story from the beginning. Well, we've heard so many stories, so why not a little origin story? So I think that was a perfect one to start with. But there's like quite a few on the board, so I just want to make sure that everything looks
okay. I always thought maybe the Dark Mother was a reference to dark matter.
She does have, you're right, Hatter. She does have part of that going on. Dark energy, dark matter. She's a pretty mysterious lady, you know, and just like the universe, she's real mysterious, and we don't know all there is to know about her. Some of these eggheads think they do, but they don't even have a clue sometimes.
No. Deb, do you want to say something?
Oh, no. I know that because of the time change and the day of the week change, some of the people that might have been able to call that Tuesday can't, and I feel bad, but like it doesn't mean that we can't get the poems read for them so that you know,
sure,
they will have eight for prosperity.
Yeah.
But what I would like to do is I put up the poem, the collab by Stephen and Kay, and I put up the poem that they would like you to read for them as well. So they're up there in a double. I thought maybe they could read theirs. We will try to do in between,
mm-hmm,
and then
sure,
you can read the one they want.
Yeah.
All
right.
Sure, we can do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was.
I dropped my. Hold on. One second.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, go ahead and post it up there, Dale.
Yeah, I did. If you refresh, you should see it. It says one for them to read and one for him to read to them. They should be on the board
okay,
right now.
Okay. Cool. So, in time, Stephen.
All right. Can we call this a friendship that profits? A writer of epic proportions, with knowledge so vast and deep, from quasars to black holes, the dark mother laces the stardust, scientific energy of gunmetal and cotton candy, a taste so sweet to ingest through the senses. Let's toast a glass to friendship as Dave's guitar weeps a tune, always a foot ahead of the prompt, a storyteller of higher life tapestries, the words as only he can, while supporting those he calls friends. End poem.
Hey, thank you, guys. I really appreciate that, man. Wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dave. We appreciate you, too. Always fun to shoot the breeze with you, and usually we end up learning something, too, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, okay. I always enjoy talking with you guys, and you know, all your good, nice comments. Kay so good about commenting on every single poem that I stick on the reading list. I really appreciate that. That makes a big difference to me. So, okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to read this one to you guys. I don't want you to. From the tone of this poem, you guys might believe something different. I wasn't in Iraq. I wasn't in the FBI. But I started thinking about the whole thing in general, and this is what I came up with. And I kind of got the idea from watching a TV program, and this woman was she's this FBI partner to this guy that was in Iraq, and she was so good with him and stuff, and so I just wanted to write something about that, and it's called Those Things I've Seen, and it reads like this: 3 tours in Iraq, I'm home now. I work for the FBI, I'm a field agent. I have a beautiful partner, she's 100% real. She's always there for me. God, I love her, but not in the way it sounds. She's beyond a wife. She's a protector of my soul. She keeps my mind whole. Those things I've seen, all those things I've done, spoken from the end of a gun, won't soon go away. Sometimes she asks me if I'm okay. Those tours across my face does play. Tells me I can talk to her in these times that are and those that were. God, I love her, but not in the way you think. She's more to me than a love. She holds onto my very soul, keeps it within my grasp. She keeps me whole. Often her questions extol things from over there, brings tears to my eyes. She holds my hand so tightly till I get through those memory movies. God, I love her. I love her heart. I love her soul. I love the fact that she keeps me whole. I get a little better every day. She lets me off the leash to play. With her funny smile and huge heart, she keeps me straight from the start. End of poem.
Awesome read. AP Taylor is here.
Hey, AP.
Hey. How are you?
Yeah, I got to say one thing. One thing that the CIA agents and the FBI agents that are put in areas of the world that you wouldn't normally think they have business being in, but of course they're on the front line of just about anything that threatens our United States or policies or our friends or whatever. To have a female field agent is quite phenomenal, being that it's usually a strong and even stronger fortitude to exist, to survive it, let alone exist in it. Partners that become friends in those situations usually are not friends when they come home because they want to forget. They need to forget a lot of things they see. This was very good.
Thanks, Scatter. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
AP Taylor, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Down Under.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. Dave Prophet's in here. We're tributing. He's up on stage there. Turn around. Yeah. And we're offering this.
I thought I would quickly throw something together, Patter, if you're interested to hear it.
Sure. You're on a different timetable, so why don't you go ahead and step up and post whatever you got. And you going to have Dave read it, or are you going to read it?
I will. No, specifically for Dave. Specifically for Dave. So just
read it.
Written over the lunch break. So this is somewhere near lateral, Dave, goes a little bit like this. Dave is quick with a nebula or a geometric quadrilateral written in some incunabula, understood only in ipsilateral. Follows tally of astrophysics, close with Einstein's ghost, and in formula hieroglyphics can discuss more than most of photons and electrons, stuff that's all crazily small on the teaching tag gongs, his physics certainly is cool. Things that matter to him, and others gone in a trice, without the science begin, and little see left to entice. For in space, he's either big, or seen infinitesimally tiny, Dave lets us know the gig, distinguish the dull from blinding. Ping pong.
Oh, man, I like that. Oh, you touched on a lot of the different stuff that I'm interested in, AP. I really appreciate that, man. That's cool. You got a good memory.
Thank you.
Einstein's ghost.
I
like
can't believe some of them things he rhymed. Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Showing off.
Thank you, AP, and I love those shirts.
Well, that's just full of quadrilaterals. You see, it's a shirt full of quadrilaterals.
That's right.
I thought to myself, Dave would wear that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's exactly what they are, quadrilaterals. Yep, yep.
Everybody want to touch you. Everybody want to touch you. Who's that?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Dave, did everybody see the blood moon this last kind of the last week?
I missed that. I didn't even know it was out
the
there.
With the eclipse. It was red.
Very red.
Wow. 4:30 in the morning, I believe.
Mm.
I just went to the next day and looked at the pictures that everybody else took. I didn't see it live either from where I'm at. Too many city lights around here.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'm fortunate because I don't have hardly any city lights around me, and I can go right out in my front yard and take really nice star pictures and stuff. It's nice.
So you got a good view for the Pleiades meteorite.
Yeah.
Towers.
Oh, I can't see the Pleiades from where I'm at, but if I drive up 5 minutes up into sea range, I can see them real good up there. fact, I can see the whole sky up there. So,
Mount Hood blocking your view.
No, it doesn't actually. it's a little bit more northeast than Mount Hood's almost dead east from me,
yeah.
And then Pleiades is a little bit northeast of Mount Hood, so I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah, some years they're bigger than others. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say, very interesting constellation. I love looking at it, and you can actually see M31, which is Andromeda. It is, you can see it almost with the old naked eye. It's bright enough, and it's close enough. It's actually in our local group and backyard, so to speak. if you have a good pair of binoculars, that you know, you can see it without too much trouble. So that's kind of interesting too. So
yeah, they say that one of the brightest stars in the sky, Betelgeuse, has gone supernova, but we won't see it. They're not quite sure when we'll be able to see it. Is that true?
They've been speculating that it's going to go supernova, but I didn't know that it actually had yet. We're not going to see it for a while. I don't know how far away it is. You know, it's it would have to be, if for us to even see it at all, it'd have to be below. If it's a parsec away, well, you know, it's going to take 3.126 light years to get here, and that's a long ways. And so we might not even get to see it in our lifetime. I hope we do. I'm going to have to look that up. But
yeah, I think it's a speculation still, and I think the time element is also a speculatory. I don't think they want to say, well, it went supernova, we won't see it for 300 years. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah,
you know, I've always said,
for
the short time that we get to live in this plane of existence that they call human life, we get screwed as far as intergalactical events. I mean, how many in our lifetime? How many have we seen? I mean, we saw the one that broke up a meteor slam into Jupiter. That was quite an event. Other than that, I can't think of any other. I mean, eclipses and Halley's Comet, I don't know if that's an event other than an observation.
It is.
Yeah. Have you seen the video of the asteroid hitting the moon?
No, I haven't seen
it's not true, of course, but take a look at it. Just go ahead and just say asteroid hitting the moon, and you'll see that it's well done, and it's scary than hell when you come to the reality that could happen. Because it won't be good for us.
No. Not at all.
Two things.
Yes.
Dave Prophet, will you look at the chat wall? Jabot UK came out of hibernation. She hasn't written in 6 months, but she left you a little ditty here. It says, by Jabot UK, our Dave is a wonderful guy who won't ever tell you a lie. He says what he means, treats ladies like queens, writes poems, both clever and wry. Love you, Dave, from Jabot.
I just love this woman. She is so cool. I have known Jabot for a long time now, and I think she was one of my friends right after I met Deb. And Hatter, I know you know who she is, and her poetry has always been fun, and she's a lovely woman, and I just love her. I told her the other day, after I saw that, I said, I'd love to give you a great big hug and a kiss. And I said, I hope I'm not being too forward. I said, my American enthusiasm kind of gets the best of me sometimes. She said, well, actually, Dave, she says, I find it quite quite delightful. anyway.
You're in a bad mood. Just go
really
thumb through her page. You'll be smiling when you're done. Stephen has work in the morning, so I wanted to see if he could push their special for tomorrow before.
Sure.
Daily.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Tomorrow night, it's 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Normally it's the Mortuary of Shadows, but not this week as it's Memorial Day. So we are going to celebrate the vets, honor the vets with a Memorial Day special over at Aquatic Slice of Life.
Cool.
I just looked something up there. I don't know if you're interested, but I'm in the morning.
Oh.
Sounds like a plan.
Nope.
And I know you have to get to bed, but we appreciate you calling and reading for Dave. I will talk to you both tomorrow. Oh, you know what? I should beg this question while we have so many brainiacs on the line. This afternoon, I posted a topic. I now have all my topic boards posted all the way to my show of July 12th. I sent a couple little notes, you know, if you want to pick early, not get leftovers. Click and make your picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent one to Kay. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you only have one, but just in case. And I sent one to Sky. I think you only missed one, but just in case. I blink. They both go to my topic board at the same exact second. And in that same exact second, they both picked the same exact photo out of 30 pictures. And it's time-stamped. If you go look at my topic board, it's time-stamped. So what we were wondering is, what are the odds of two people picking the same photo out of 30 at the exact same second like that? It blew me away. This has never happened before. And I was like, I can't believe this. So anyway.
Well, it's the odds of it, Deb, are directly proportional to how many people are in the group, and there's a lot of other factors, but what time of day it is, what time of day it is where they live, that sort of thing, whether they're up at that particular time or going to bed or eating whatever, you know, so that's the way.
Well, I don't know, but I kind of got the feeling when it happened that I would have had a better chance of getting struck by lightning than I would have picking the exact same picture as somebody else at the exact same second within 5 minutes of the topic being posted out of 30 pictures.
Yeah, that's,
zoom in on the same
one.
That's
really amazing. It really is.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, way off subject.
Remember when Norma Han Solo said to C-3PO when he was telling him the odds of surviving an asteroid field?
Yeah.
Never tell me the odds.
Never tell you the odds.
Okay. Then never
that's
mind.
It.
In my Roseanne voice.
Van.
Okay, well, what's next, folks?
Well, but I did want to answer your question about the odds.
Yeah.
Okay. I've added.
The odds of being struck by lightning in your lifetime are 1 in 15,300. Okay? So, so that's the odds of being struck by lightning. But let's then look at the odds of Kay and Sky choosing the same image. And the odds of that happening are 1 in 30 times 1 in 30 at any possible time. So it's a 1 in 900 chance that they would have chosen that same image any time. And so if there are only 17 time increments in the world, then that would be equal to 1 in 15,300, which is the same odds of getting struck by lightning. So since there are more than 17 time increments in the world, I'd hasten to say that the chances of them both choosing that same image at that same time are far more unlikely than getting struck by lightning. And that's all I have to say.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was my first impression, too. Oh, my goodness. That's so cool.
It.
Well, thank you, AP.
Thanks, AP.
Having used my mathematical statistics degree at least once today. And I will see you all again. Have a great show, Dave.
Enjoy your Saturday.
Thanks, AP.
Thank you for Monday.
So confused.
I
don't
even
know
what
date
is. Monday.
Okay,
it is Monday. Okay,
have fun.
Thanks, AP.
Wow, that was great.
How about that, Mark? Okay.
Yeah.
Should be a
thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. My chin is still... bruised from hitting the table when that happened. I was like, no way. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I'll shut up now. Sorry.
Deborah, I got a poem that Crystal put up here. It's called Enchantment in a Bottle, and it's a collaboration that her and I did about the Dark Mother's perfume. And while we're on the subject of the Dark Mother and that sort of thing, I wondered if it would be okay if I read that.
Absolutely. Let me put it on the board. I think that's the one she brought,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
Enchantment in a Bottle. Yeah, Chris, this is the one that Crystal chose for you. So it works out quite well. And here it is.
We had a good time writing this. I remember now. I couldn't remember it the other day, and then I reread it and. Crystal's so much fun. She's just a kick in the butt. So, anyway, it's called Enchantment in a Bottle. Oh, I love the taste of cotton candy and the aroma of gunpowder, but where, oh, where can I get that besides the fair? These thoughts pondered her for quite a long time. That was until a dark figure came creeping from behind. Are you tired of your man paying no attention to you? Does he look at other women in the supermarket with you? If you answered yes to either questions, I have an answer. From the depths of interstellar space of revolution and fragrance, gunpowder and cotton candy. Hello, ladies. My name is Dave Prophet, and with the help of my friend, the Dark Mother, we created the ultimate male attractor, the perfume called gunpowder and cotton candy. But don't take my word for it. Let me introduce you to my queen, the Dark Mother, Dave. They wait on bated breath, my queen. Why, yes, of course, yes. This perfume had done wonders. Men now ignore my warted nose and overgrown toenails. They are so mesmerized by the power of the smell. I, the Dark Mother, wear it every day, and you should too. Just one low price of one asteroid from space, and men will be walking all over you. Warning. Shipping and handling from space may apply. Now, go get your cotton candy and gunpowder perfume today before the Dark Mother gets you. The Dark Mother spoke to me, saying, David, my man, there is a consequence to my perfume. Dost thou ladies know of this? It shall make them an irresistible goddess to whomever they choose. It shall give them the power to manipulate matter, said in anger or in jest, and is of a permanent nature. I had no idea these properties, my queen. I shall advise them. Oh.
Dave, I need to go retrieve something. Deborah?
That's fine, Hatter. I got it for you. That. But I bet you I could see Crystal grinning with this. I could hear by your voice that you guys had a lot of fun writing it. And the back and forth dialogue, you know, I found myself wondering while you were reading, how many of us chicks you have conned into doing collabs with you where they were actually, if you want to get technical, they weren't two people doing collabs. They were three because most of the time the Dark Mother was somehow involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of threesome poetry going on out there, just saying.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I always thought it was kind of fun to you know, if my poetry had dialogue in there, written for women, if I actually had a lady to read those parts, it sort of adds another dynamic to the poem when you listen to it, I think. So that's why, you know, I used to do it. And Michelle and I used to do that a lot together, too, when we were reading for you, Deb. So anyway.
Great share. And I don't know what had her. Oh, no. I'm just reading. Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right. Let me see here. Let me see what's on this board. Dave Prophet, and that was Chrissy's. Okay, now, I am good. Oh, no, Hatter didn't get to read his. All right, let's see. What do I do? See, I don't know. There's only
Deb, I'm still here. Deb, I'm still here. I just got to retrieve something.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, like,
good.
Try not to
good.
Move more. I'm going to grab your poem so you can read for Dave Prophet. How about that?
That sounds good to me.
Hatter, you think your eyes doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all you, dude.
Ooh, okay. Okay, it is a tribute to the Starman. It was like this. When the interest rise into the skies, so much to see and asking why, from star to star, ambassador shows, light in years expansion grows. Measured by things you can't comprehend, with light itself begins to bend. Einstein knew there was more to that. Remember the numbers and do the math. A prophet amongst the poets here, listen to learn when Dave is here. Quantum leads the curse of things when radio waves and understanding the pictures that don't explain why and billions falls from the sky. Could I attribute to one such man, I'll sit and listen so to understand. Hey, Dave.
Oh, thank you, Adam. That's great. Wow. I'm beside myself tonight. Man, I'm going to put this on my profile. My dog was making noise. He's in the office with me here. So, oh, I like this, man. I really did. You touched on a lot of the things that I like to write about, quantum mechanics and the universe and cosmology and astronomy. And Albert Einstein was one of my favorite scientists. Not because he was so right, just because he was a cool dude, and he still believed in God. And that, to me, made him dear to my heart. And so, anyway,
yeah,
I really appreciate this.
That's a good point. Some of the most smart and most intelligent men in our history, from Galileo to Newton to Archimedes, Einstein, even Sagan, now they all believed in a creator. Call it anything you
mm-hmm.
want. But they believe it was a planned experiment or however we got here. They do believe there is a greater being, except for one. Stephen Hawking did not believe in any of that and was very vocal about it. I found that odd, being a man of theory, that he couldn't accept the one theory that he probably should have.
He should have. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I have said about him, and that's one thing that kept him out of Dave's book of stars, you know, or star scientists, because I look at it this way, Hatter. If there's some things out there that I don't think we're ever going to understand, and those are the things that God puts in his own little chapter, and maybe someday he'll show them to us, maybe he won't, but that's just the way I look at religion and God, you know. And I think there's room enough in our study and endeavors for both, you know. So I mean, when you look at some of the things that goes on in the universe, some of the checks and balances that happen and the way things work, It's really, really, really pushing it to say, oh, that just happened because. I don't buy that. And,
Well, I think that was the dilemma of in their brains and their thought process too.
Yeah,
it's too much to just go shrug your shoulders and say, well, it just is. There's an equation and a theory out there that says if you took a statement, I think it's like 12 words long, and you have a dice for each letter of those words, and you spell it out in front of you. You gather all those dice up. How many times you roll in those dice freely would it take for them to line up again to those words? How many how many times would that take? That's the odds of us existing through the things we know.
Well, that sounds about right. To me, anyway.
Just the way it is. Anyway.
Just
a way of giving the numbers. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just listened to something on a lecture on probability the other day, and that was really fascinating, and how to quantify it and stuff. I don't know. Way too much stuff.
Yeah, probability needs some kind of baseline to even ask the question. I mean,
It does.
To think of it in an equation or percentage is not fair to the question, I guess. I don't know that every time we find an answer, there's 20 more questions, and I think that's the way it is. We will not understand everything. Everything is so far away.
No.
It's unreachable. It is. Unless we can bend time and space and get wormholes to fly through I don't know. Maybe a metaphysical. We could, with our minds, be able to do it.
So David Prophet, I've been waiting over a month to hear the next poem on the board. Just saying.
Okay, which one's that, sweetie?
Okay, Deb, I got to move to the other side of the house, so I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh,
God's Across the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, is this the one called God's
Across
the
Rainbow
Bridge?
The one for Zephyr.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, well, I got this. Deborah sent me this picture. She sends me lots of them sometimes. And it really, really stuck in my head. Remind me of Zephyr so much. It also reminds me of Sanford, my other dog. I wrote this, and I'm going to try and read it without getting all choked up. But it's called God's Across the Rainbow Bridge, and it's written like this. I awoke within the arms of early morning purples, Luna's quicksilver and obsidian straining them through my AM windows, silent messengers, whispering photonic footballs cloaked in incense, gunpowder and cotton candy drifting in her dark currents, for she is here. 'Tis the dark mother, my only real love, with her collections of recollections. David, my man, forgive my intrusions upon your reveries. I have a vision for thee, the dark mother's suboptive voice, my bedroom in sympathetic resonance, shakes to her husky sonic sexuality. I feel her dark matter fingers inside my hair, her thin black lips, butterfly whisks across my cheeks, her breath, the fragrance of Nile breezes, or any place where she has frequented, tinted in myrrh. Behold, my man, a curling vortex, twisting purple vapors, swirling within my living room. 'Twas when I saw the vision, my dog Zephyr, 2 years past, now looking at me across the rainbow bridge. Midnight onyx, steeped in golds of ancient Egypt. Behold thy Zephyr and their god Anubis, for he is one and the same, David. His coexistence within two timelines, he wishes to be with you. I granted him one lifetime. He so longed to see you, my man. Gods across the rainbow bridge upon God's indigo thrones. The dark mother bowed to me as she stepped backwards and brought forth my lost dog once again. once more. I could feel him as his countenance passed into me, multitudes of memories flashing in front of me on my timeline, and those ancient pharaohs to which he did watch over. I'm sorry I had to leave you, my one and only master, for I was only granted one lifetime. I would not have lived it any other way. I am alive on this side of the Rainbow Bridge. I shall receive you in time, but I cannot tell you when. Tears streamed from my ancient emerald eyes, twinges in double-edged swords of longing surrounding my heart. God bless thee, David, my master. I will bring thy new companion, Sanford, with thee when thou shalt pass from across the Rainbow Bridge. To the gods of the Rainbow Bridge, in cobalt glimmerings, he began to fade. My man, for inasmuch as I can show thee, 'tis fleeting upon this fracture of time. 'Tis all God would allow of me. I felt the dark mother's lips upon mine. Again, the vastness of the universe did flow into my very soul, her gentle wisdom segue into my very heart and soul. She takes small parts of me every time we touch. You shall see me again, I promise you, my man. Then she was gone. Like a dream, you left, and you long to return, but cannot. Purple vapors floating in layers, 2 cubits off my floor, trailing the incense of gunpowder and cotton candy. Glimpses of Zephyr, glimpses of the Dark Mother, and glimpses of Nirvana. Blessed be my stories unto you, dear reader. End poem.
Oh, you did good reading it, Dave. And by the towards the end there, the glimpses of Zephyr, glimpses of Dark Mother, glimpses of Nirvana. Blessed be the stories unto you, dear reader. I love the way you wrapped that up. But you took this picture and really, really entwined it in the Dark Mother saga, and I kind of really liked that I stumbled across this photo and that you were able to incorporate him in here. Because if you think about it, him tap dancing on that wood floor was in just as many halftime shows as you were, David. It's really fitting for them to be in the poem together, I think. But you did an amazing job with this photo. As a matter of fact, if you peek in your inbox, I sent you another photo that might inspire you for another poem, just saying. But, yeah, awesome.
Oh, okay.
I think I heard Hatter back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah,
back.
Cool.
Epic, Dave.
Thank you, Deborah.
Yeah, I do remember the click, click, clicking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I like this picture, Deb. Wow, this is cool.
Isn't it cool? And it's
really
close enough to be her, right? Awesome.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. Well, she's a woman of many faces, you know. That's what I always said about her. So, cool.
So, Dave, we gotta head out. So, sorry that we can't hang out for the whole show. Just want to say congrats.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm glad you guys showed up and could make it. And I loved your poem. And I'm gonna put it on my post it to my profile on my page too. So I've already got a couple more out there, so I'm going to put yours up there too. Thank you guys very much for that. I'm so tickled that I'm your friend. You know, I really am. And so thank you.
Thanks for showing up, Stephen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Good night, our dynamic duo.
Thank you. You know,
all
Deb, Boodle put up a poem, and he must have really did some research on this because I'd totally forgotten about this poem, and I saw the link there, and I brought it up and reread it, and it's one of my, let's see, when did I write this? Oh, I wrote it in 2014, and it kind of choked me up when I read it. But I don't know if you guys want me to read it right now or if you got something else on there, but I just wanted to comment on it. Is all.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Steven, just put it up there.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I think that was part of the point that Hatter was trying to make earlier. You get to see some of the stuff that you haven't seen in a while. You see stuff that you didn't realize how strongly it touched someone else, you know, to remember it and go hunting for it means that it left an impression on them. And like Stephen was a little bit bummed because there was one that he wanted to bring and he couldn't find it. And sometimes, you know, you can't remember what it's called and it's harder to find it. But just to know that people that it left such an impression that they would even try to go back and look for it is a pretty big deal. And a lot of the stuff that's been put on the board tonight, in my opinion, shows that people do really appreciate story poets because the stuff that you've been asked to read so far has been story-based stuff. And it's funny how many of us think of the Dark Mother when we think of you and your poetry because we can all tell and feel how that character is a big part of you, and for people to recognize that it's something that means something to you is a big deal, I think, which is why I like these, you know? I put the one from Budo up there, and I see that, wow, it's like from 7 years ago, so he really was digging. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So why don't you take us on a journey, and then you can talk a little more.
Yeah, I was, I don't know, I don't know where I get these ideas. They just come into my head sometimes. And this was when I still had Zephyr. And the name of this poem is called Megan. And it's written like this. I saw her through the windshield of my truck, and she looked a little down on her luck, walking down the 26, her dog and her, from happier times that were. Beyond her by now, her life gone beyond her somehow. Gray stocking hat pulled over silver hair, her time-lined face still fair. I saw all of this as I went past. I saw a faint smile on her lips that asked if I would stop for her and her dog. The wake of my truck swirled a silver cloak of fog. Around her, fleeting images swirling, the mist around her unfurling, and I could not go on. Unto the side of the road I was drawn. I rolled down the window as she came up to my truck. This pretty older woman down on her luck, her green eyes beaming upon me, sparkling, her countenance almost startling. Buddy can ride in the bed, she said. He can ride inside instead, I said. My dog was pleased to have a backseat friend, two black German shepherds, to this legend. Thank you, kind sir, she said to me. He's always with me. And her dog got into the back seat, tufts of brown hair sprouting from his big feet. And his gray muzzle was telling of his age. And I looked into the soft brown eyes of this canine sage. And he said to me silently, thank you for that. We are travelers from time that are and times that were. Buddy must have been talking to you, somehow this old woman knew. He has a special gift. And your spirits he can lift. My name is Megan Hilder, but folks called me Megan. My mother told me it was Icelandic in origin. And with this, I could see the ancient warrioress hiding in the fine lines of her dress. And you must be David Williams, she said unto me. And the last part prophet spelled with two F's and two T's. I was dumbfounded that she knew my name. In her green eyes flashed an ancient flame. I laughed and told her she had it all right so far, this beautiful old woman, so strange and bizarre. She reached out and took my right hand in her left, her lovely fingers so magically deft. Her high cheekbones and aquiline nose give her thin lips a sweet repose that love to break into a broad smile, revealing perfect white teeth that beguile any man who would look upon her. Tiny lines upon her face did blur, and so she became ageless, and so her beauty to me was endless. Not every man sees this in me, but within you a special gift I see, and her laugh was musical and intoxicating, and she took off her hat, her silver mane, breathtaking, and I sat there staring at her, and she had the essence of firs, trees, and myrrh. "Not to worry, my dear man," she reached over and touched my face with her right hand, long slender fingers and longer nails, such tactile feedback that entails its implicit message to me, her ageless beauty, easy to see. I felt my emotions running away with themselves as this warrioress from time past cast her spell, and her breathy kiss upon my lips did fall, and her deep and soft whispered promise did call to my very soul, promises she did extol from me to her, her magic I began to incur. Then she released her spell from me, and her green eyes dancing with glee, and she said to me, "It is as it was, I can no longer hold you because you must want me without the magic," and the tone in her voice became tragic, and my heart would not let her go, and so I told her so. The fires in her green eyes did burn, and her smile tilting at me did return. So I saw a tear at the corner of her pretty eyes, and so I asked her, "Why do you cry?" "I will lift the magic from your eyes, and you will see the real me when the magic dies, and you will despise what you see, so you will never love me. Cast your magic aside so I may see the real you." She touched my face and began again, and I knew that I could perceive no difference in her countenance because of our soul's resonance. "Well, David William, do you still like what you see? Will you still love me? Megan, I see no difference within these eyes. You still have me mesmerized." And she began to cry, liquid chromium from those emerald eyes. I held her face in my hands. I felt transported into other lands with this lady of time, this woman of internal rhyme, whose meter is synchronized to my own. Sometimes you just know this down to the bone. So I drove this woman to my home besides, and in a year I made her my bride, and she lived with me until we all died. At the same time, her dog and I are dogs alongside.
Epic.
Yeah.
See, now this is 7 years old, and ever the story poet, let me tell you. Wow.
Yeah, I was surprised when I pulled this back up and read it again. I thought, geez, Daisy, I'm halfway good on this, even though it is lengthy. It's, you know. So.
Well, there's always an exception for length when it's your own tribute show, just saying.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But seriously, how does it know that he went digging through and found something 7 years old to bring? When else would you have got a chance to put that on the show if we didn't have these showcase shows? You know?
That's right.
Makes me
That's
feel
exactly
good.
Exactly right. Yeah.
By your own poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always felt it a shame that some of these masterpieces get buried in false and never read again.
Yeah.
Or
That's
rarely
right.
read.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I can't wait for yours to come around, Hatter, because you have a whole treasure trove full of these things. And I have liked your poetry ever since I first heard the very first poem. And if anyone writes with their heart or soul, it's you, my man. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I already had mine. So I don't know. If
yeah, we did the host and hostesses before we started doing the team or the group members. I think Hatter's was December. Mine and his was December, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
November, something
that.
Like that.
I appreciate
it. We kind of get
to
pull ours out whenever we want to because we are hosts, where the people that
yeah.
we pay the tribute to get to find out, like I said, what other people like and what they gravitate
mm-hmm.
towards. And I think it's a big kick when they go into something that's been a recipient for years collecting cobwebs that you probably had no idea that made a big enough impression to be pulled back out again, you know?
Yeah. Deb, could I read... Poetic Picasso's request because I wanted to read Linda's poem next, and this Mask of Death was a collaboration between Linda and myself, and I thought, well, if I read this poem, The Mask of Death, first, it would kind of be interesting because Linda and I wrote that together, and then I was going to read her request next, so if that's all right.
That's perfectly fine with me.
Okay.
In the meantime, also, in the back of your mind, I know you must have one absolute favorite of your own. That's the one we want to end
show
with. Okay, that's the one we're going to want to end the show with later. So go ahead and do these two.
Okay. All right, this is called The Mask of Death, and this was a collaboration between Linda and myself. And I thought it came out pretty good, and and it was brief for me. Anyway, the poem goes like this. On the night that crows unite while the earth eclipses the moon, his wicked lust comes forth and wraps me tight in a cocoon. This has got the typical Linda rhyming meter, doesn't it? I have fallen into your well of lost, forgotten souls, sinking at the speed of light inside a big black hole. Your arms engulf me. You make it so easy to die. As light passes into the bottomless pit, we fly. Your dark matter touch, cold as the fabric of space, you hide your face behind the mask. It's me you've come to embrace. And when the winter wind comes, howling for the night, I only wish to see your eyes for the fire they'd ignite. This interstellar adventure, illuminated by all the stars, imagination in the terrestrial, in spotlights of the celestial. You and I, my dark thief, actors of hope and dreams, for my love for thee is as deep as the black hole ever seems. I pondered for a moment. Who is thou? I asked. Dark mother then replied, you foolish girl. It's death behind the mask. End poem. I thought Linda wound that poem up just perfect.
Okay, so did it get posted?
Yeah.
I couldn't pick it up. I didn't see it. Damn it.
You know what? It was my fault. I just went right into listening and never thought to grab it and put it on the board. So I'm grabbing it now.
I put up the one that Linda wanted me to read next. You put up Megan. That's right. Okay. I'm sorry. Never mind.
That's all right. It's just that, you know, I got a silver medal, a silver membership. I still have to, when I post something, I still have to comment on two other pieces. I can't post any pictures.
Me neither.
Is that silver? I thought silver, you're supposed to be able to do the pictures anyway.
Well, I can. I've got a silver membership. I can do pictures, but I can only put one on. A background and a banner picture, but I can't insert any more pictures into the body of the poem like the Go people can, I guess. But
I can't do either.
Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth the extra money, to be honest with you. $6 is cheap to do what I do. And
it's no different than the free.
Know. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a different
I got the next one up on the board. I just went ahead and snatched it off my list over here, and I got two window panes open on my computer. One of them is on you guys ATOV, and then the other one's on my homepage. And so, anyway, this one's called, this is one of Deb's prompts, and I think it's complete with the words and the crayons, too. So it's called Of Mountains and Motorcycles. And Linda liked this, and so she wanted me to read it. Mountaintop ridgelines and elevations of 2,000 feet or more wakens the wind god from his year-long slumber, twisting clouds asunder into wispy mare's tails, pulling fog from the trees into streaks caressing the tops of evergreens, undertow from a hand unseen, makes us believe in the wind god Nojor, I don't know how to, I'm sure I mispronounced that, in his mountain kingdom dwelling. My black and chromium mechanical steed takes me into his realm in viper navigation up windy forest roads through silver mist, refined by intimate evergreen distillation like a fine silver scotch climbing ever up. The mountain secret so guarding shows me her colors in sunset shades of apricot, curtains against forest green, wind gypsies trailing brandy and blonde vapor trails soft as mahogany chiffon. I put the chrome kickstand down on my Night Train 88 twin cam, black and chromium Harley Davidson, magician to my mental health needs as I watch the sky, as I watch the day die trailing off into radish colored sparks into the horizon. My eagle's eye at 2,000 feet above the valley floor off some lonesome logging road as the clear cut sweeps my vision down her silver and emerald flank. She's losing her silver to greens all over again. The forest is a mighty healer of herself and of me. She sings to me, chrome-wheeled, fuel-injected, stepping out over the line. She reads me as easily as my dark mother queen, as my dark queen. I could smell her on warm thermals rising up the ridge flanks. I am so addicted to the queen's heady fragrance, gunpowder and cotton candy, kisses my face and makes love to my nose. David, my man, so pleased to see you here. Your mountain's so beautiful, your heart so beside itself to see me, which pleases me into infinity. I love thee so, my human. Would thee take me for a ride on the back of your Harley? I would be honored, my queen. She giggled as I watched her becoming human for me for a little while. The queen of the universe on the back of my Harley. Imagine that. I love you, David, she whispers.
Yeah.
So we awesome, Rita. And we have a caller, 434, in the studio. Let me open that up. Hello, caller.
Hello. Oh, I just wanted to listen. It's just me, Brandy.
Hello, Brandy. Well, you
Hi,
can
Brandy.
Listen to, we're listening to Dave Rita's poetry. We're showcasing his work and his storytelling ability, so welcome aboard.
Oh, well, don't mind me. I'm just listening. I'm in the midst to do some recording, so yeah, I will just listen.
Get back with me, and we'll listen together.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So, motorcycle mamas might be dark mom mother incarnated.
Yeah,
I remember getting
the
kick out of him putting the actual song lyrics into the poem, and I noticed that while
yeah.
you were reading it, David, you got a little giggle out of it yourself. Now, wasn't that cool to read one of your own poems and get a little giggle out of it? And I'm glad the one that you read was from one of my prompts. I could recognize my words and stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, Deborah, you have upped the quality of poetry in our group exponentially with your picture prompts, your word banks, and your colors. It's forcing everybody to write up above their normal levels and stuff. And this last poem that I wrote, I kept on in that vein. I used an old word bank that I found from some of the other ones. And I used some of the colors and stuff. And I've been trying to change my style a little bit. And so I was really proud of this one that I wrote. So that was the one that I want to read when the whole thing, when the show is almost over. So, anyway.
Take a look at that one I just posted, Dave. Blue Bottom Girls. I did a writing quite 4 years ago. Blue Bottom Girls.
All right. Ooh. God. Do you want me? Are you going to read it, or do you want me to?
Since we got time, I'll read it to you.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
just
sure.
Just reminded me, your last name.
Is it cool? I see it's marked adult.
No, it's cool. On the Boulevard of Black and Ice, the race for biker queens, turning nights of northern lights into a place called Hogs Ravine. While ice hang from cobalt stalls, sharing wind chills of those that came before, blocks of scarlet peppered granite to chisel open-ended triangles, then bury the bank of a thousand words. Flashes of tramp stamps vertically smiling above the silver dollar slots that pay in the cubes of blocks. Spoke rings play as they dance away in sunny California twirls. Cold was a word used with absurd the night of the Blue Bottom Girls.
Excellent. That's really cool.
When I come back, I want to come back as cowgirl jeans. Just saying.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I hear you. I agree. One of my favorite phrases is cowgirl butts drive me nuts. Oh, boy.
Okay, and with that being said, I just happen to have brought another poem that you wrote from one of my prompts that I am particularly fond of, and I was hoping that you would read this one for me as well, Daughter of Rock.
I will. Oh, yeah. Okay. Are you going to put it up, Deb?
It is already there. Just refresh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I really had a good time with this. It just hit me. I'm a big fan of ancient Egypt anyway, and I thought, well, you know, Michelle and I talked about this deity called Bast, or Bas, however you pronounce it, or Bas, really. The T is supposed to be silent on the end of that word, but so anyway, it goes like this. Daughter of Ra, soaring through desert skies of ancient Egypt, holding on to her father's liquid sunbeams, ever protecting him, brilliance in the rising chains of goldenrod, bleeding into yellows, oranges, weeping, vaporized day west, looking down on the pyramids, porcelainized peaks and limestone, goddess of protection, pleasure, good health to her people, bears the crown of Lower Egypt. She holds the crook and flail, the shepherd's crook for kingship, her father's legacy, the flail, goodwill of the Nile, its fertility of her land. Her statue sits at the head of the causeway, 50 cubits tall, polished surface in obsidian and quartzite, stares out at the land in emerald eyes from a lapis lazuli complexion. Queen of all she surveys, warm evening, whirlwind breezes, carries the green fragrance of the Nile mixed with lavender temple incense, magical in its deliverance, wearing the robes of the evening. Oh, my beautiful Bas, breathe deep the gathering curves. My one and only Egypt, I give thee wisdom. Protect my land forevermore. Keep the pyramids, stand fast the hieroglyphs, the Sphinx, parts of the Rosetta Stones, so generations remember. The Dark Mother whispering centuries ago to her chosen land imparts her wisdom to the architects, scribes, and pharaohs, queens, how the pyramids were built. Mystery magnetized by the ages to this very day. David, a history lesson for you, my human, lest ye not forget Egypt and her glory. For she has faded into the sands of time, save the great pyramids, the Sphinx and its wingspan, dream Stella. Blessed be the Rosetta Stone. My queen, who preserved the remnants of her past in tis the benevolent God in her Aquamarine Views, Best with a silent T, Tinted Gunmetal Gray, Stained in Cotton Candy, Chains into Infinity, and Foam.
So how were the pyramids made, David?
I don't know. I have no idea. And nobody else does either.
You know,
Oh, I was just going to say, I've heard the story before, and it makes perfect sense to me. People said, well, extraterrestrials came down here and helped them build it. Well, you know, it's no worse than any other ideas that I've heard, you know. So, I don't know how many, they said there was over, 5 million stones in the Great Pyramid or something like that. And there's such precision by the way those things sit that you can't even stick a playing card in between some of them, you know. I mean, Jesus, give me a break, you know. We can't even do that today, and we've got machines that can do all that grunt work, you know, and we can't do it.
It's the size. You know? The size, too, is what is mind-boggling, the size of the stones. Uh-huh. Now, that's recently come up that we have the time periods wrong. The pyramids are a lot older than they first thought. Now, that's what they're
that
saying
now. That wouldn't surprise
now.
Me either. Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Which makes it very possible that the desert now was a tropical, like Central America, where they're finding pyramids that predate some of the other pyramids. So a pyramid is not just exclusive to Egypt or Northern Africa. They're finding them pretty much on every continent.
Yeah.
So that opens up another discussion on. Being a pyramid is a shape of power and I'm not gonna remember this. It's not just geometry, but it's a form of I'll space it out here. Help me, Dave.
I know what you mean. It's a power structure and they're supposed to, it's supposed to invigorate and renew, have a renewal thing to them, you know.
One of the things they could not have known is the ley lines of the Earth, and they lay exactly, if I remember right, they lay on the ley lines, which is a spot on the Earth that attracts people. Seattle is one. It's a big ley line that everything crosses there. And Rome is another, I believe. But,
And they also point to the four different directions too, each side, I think. And it's there's supposed to be some alignment with constellations too. The Egyptians were way smart, and they were way ahead of their time. They were probably the most advanced civilization on Earth while they were there. And
that's because they're alien. Because they're alien.
Some of those Egyptians, especially the that one pharaoh called Akhenaten, he actually looked like an alien. He had a real strange bone structure to him, and he had one of the prettiest queens that ever lived, Nefertiti. She was gorgeous and just beautiful woman. And those Egyptian women were really pretty anyway, just really fine bone structure and the way they used to wear their hair and stuff, you know. And I'm a big fan of Egypt.
That deformed skull of Ra that then falls into the category of bone shaping when they're birthed. They're finding them all over the different parts of the world in graves. Before they start wrapping tightly the baby's head and it grows deformed. They thought that was a sign of royalty or sexuality or something. But They start to figure out none of these baits they had fit. I think they're rewriting it sort of under the hush-hush because they don't want to rewrite history books. They're not that expensive. But you say pyramid, you automatically go to your vision Egypt. There's just as many more pyramids just as big in Central America.
Well, and that Angkor Wat, I watched a lecture on that the other day, and that was fantastic. That place is just unbelievable. You know, it was right on par with a lot of the Egyptian stuff. You know, it really was. And gorgeous.
Oh boy! I'm gonna say, do you remember the it's called Devin probably know something Gables. It's that 5'2" gentleman that was heartbroken. He built that coral gable, or built that castle with those stones. Built the castle with stones. Some of them are, you know, 20 tons, and you can move it with your finger. You'd have stones delivered on flatbed trailers and tell the divers to go around the corner. When they came back, it was unloaded. Now, he had the secret to moving things, and they suggest that it's the magnetic fields in rock, in the earth. We all have a magnetic field. Find it and know which rocks to use. I mean, there's got to be an explanation how that guy did that. And I think that was the secret to how the Egyptians did it. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, probably was.
The guy had only one worker to do some gopher work for him, and he was never there when he moved the big stones. But I wish Andy or Dressman, they live in Florida down there. I think it's Coral Gables or something. It's a historic.
Oh yeah, there's Coral Gables, Florida.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, well, Deborah, you put up two poems, "Angel on Death Row" and "Interloper" in juxtaposition. Which one would you like me to read?
Well, we have those two. I think we have the one that Frank put on the board, and then the one that you brought. So I think there's still four more to go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What I did was I inboxed you the poems that were written specifically to you, like from me and AP and Hatter, and whatever, so that way you'd have those links. And I'm deleting the ones off the list that we already did to make sure that I keep track. And it looks like we have Angel of Death Row, The Mask of Death, the one that's on the board right now, and then the one that you're going to read.
We're under 30 minutes, so let's just line
these
up.
I can't remember what it was called. Let me see. Juxtaposition. Do that one first, and then we'll get the one that Frank chose, and then the other one that I had brought, and then the one that you chose, and that should bring us to right towards the end. Perfect timing. So do this one, please.
Okay, well, this one's called Interloper in Juxtaposition, and this was also another one of Deborah Lee's stellar pictures, and goes like this. Betwixt heaven and hell he comes, trailing hell's fire, for he was falsely accused, has a get-out-of-hell card, still bears a mask, marks of his incarceration. Hell's fire will not let him go quietly, so he takes the souls of those in question on his Harley chopper handcrafted by his own demons. Her name is Shara, as it suits her. She is of the flesh and loving, seeks only love, dies of a broken heart. The loving of a liar, for he was married. She gave her heart and soul to he who walks both sides. The wall between heaven and hell and someplace else, he made promises to her, whispers he could not keep. She died waiting for those promises. her demons dragging her towards the other side. The interloper would not have it. He sweeps her up, sweeps up her soul, carries her to a better place, puts out those ill-placed flames, his burning face wishing he could kiss her. His Harley weeps for him. Heaven weeps for him. Hell curses him. The universe opens for her. His delivery of her to the event horizon of heaven's door, 'tis a black hole forevermore. End poem. That was a cool picture, Deb. I enjoyed writing for that.
Yeah, it's another one from one of my lists. I think that you do a really amazing job at bringing the photo prompts to life, and that sometimes what you see can inspire the direction you write with or you write to, but your story abilities always shine no matter what I throw at you.
Oh, thank you. The next one is one Frank put up, and it's called The Mask of Death, and it goes like this. And now this, I think this was a collab that Linda and I did. Maybe I already read this. I don't know. But anyway, I'll read it again. On the night that crows unite. Yeah, I have read this. Okay, well, it don't matter. While the earth eclipses the moon, his wicked lust comes forth and wraps me tight in a cocoon. I have fallen into your well of lost, forgotten souls, sinking at the speed of light inside a big black hole. Your arms engulf me. You make it so easy to die. As light passes into the bottomless pit, we fly. Your dark matter touched, cold as the fabric of space. You hide your face behind the mask. It's me you've come to embrace. And when the winter wind comes, howling for the night, I only wish to see your eyes for the fire they ignite. This interstellar adventure illuminated by all the stars, imagination in the terrestrial, in spotlights of the celestial. You and I, my dark thief, actor of hopes and dreams, for my love for thee is as deep as a black hole ever seems. I pondered for a moment. Who is thou? I asked. Dark mother replied, you foolish girl, it's death behind the mask. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, let's see here. Let's see, what else have I got to read here, Deb?
I put the Angel of Death Row up on the board. That's the
last one
that was on the topic board.
Yeah, okay.
It's Coral Castle. Yeah. It's Coral Castle that we were talking about. Coral Castle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Anyway, this one's called Angel on Death Row. I am an agent for the FBI.
I didn't realize that the stupid phone rang. I mean, the battery died. I'm sorry. I had to switch phones, so I don't know if you heard anything I just said. But, I put the Angel of Death Row up there. That's the last one from the topic board.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll talk about the upcoming shows and whatever, and then we'll do the poem that you chose. So if I interrupted, I apologize. I'm on another phone, so
no.
Take it away.
That's okay.
I think we heard the FBI one, didn't we? Already?
Well, I haven't heard this one yet. I haven't read this one yet. Okay. I am an agent. We did another one that had FBI in it, but not this one. I am an agent for the FBI and carte blanche. I work in the behavioral sciences branch. I get to see the worst mental shows in town. I try to understand criminal minds by messing around with their thought processes. My role-playing in this process gives me insight into how they think, while I have looked into the eyes that never blink. I ask questions from the worst types of mankind in an effort to see thoughts that run behind those dead eyes that stare at me with malevolence. Answers I pry through lips twisted with insolence. There are always exceptions to any rule, and their face will always usually fool the most jaded amongst my constituents. Sometimes an open mind is the only requirement. So such was the case of the woman named Laurel, a pretty middle-aged woman with the eyes of a little girl, put on death row, falsely convicted of serial killing, and now to be executed, she is most willing. She leaves behind a son who's good on the cello, who is now a young man and a fine fellow. He lives with foster parents. They give him a good home. Doesn't remember much about his mother or her roam. Running with a rabid dog who's with chaos in his eyes. This psychopath with no remorse that kills with a sigh. She tries vainly to get away from him every night. Tied cruciform to the bed frame to arrest her flight. Never saw the sight of him right at first. Never knew this part of his soul was the worst that she could ever have imagined. He locked her up all alone in a cabin. The FBI finally ran him down like a leopard in the night. Went back into a corner, never put up any sort of a fight. Both of them were taken to trial and convicted, sentenced to death in the electric chair. She became his last victim. As it came to pass that Laurel confessed to the crime she did not commit, a decision she chose to remove herself from her son's life, she did admit. To me, as the minutes of her life ticked away and I was unable to get her execution to stay, standing in her orange jumpsuit with her head shaved bare before the execution chamber in the light's cold glare, there was something almost angelic in her stare, and she begged me to let her go with a smile so fair that brought tears to this agent's tough old eyes. So I put my arms around her and hugged her as she cried, for this soul was beyond saving grace. When I beheld her again, I saw God's light in her face. She said to me, "You are a good man, Agent Prophet, I know." Smiling at me, she said, "Please just let me go." So it was that Laurel went silently into the night. Her loss to me invoked such an internal fight, the humanity in me trying to hold onto something that could not stay. I wiped Laurel's tears from my cheek, and in this way, still had parts of her that were still alive, parts of her like her life would not long survive. The legacy of Laurel's life, to me so unfair, through my own tears, I looked at hers and stared. I asked God to explain it to me someday, for fear I'll never understand it any other way. I will never forget this blonde angel on death row. Her death grips my callous heart so, for I never even knew her in the times that are and those that were. I will never forget the light in Laurel's eyes as she smiled and gave me her last sigh, as tears ran down her cheeks and mine, trying to hold her here for the very last time. End poem.
Wow. Part of the reason I brought this one, Dave, is because the first time it was on a show, I didn't call in time to hear you read it. And I was like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I need to get it. And I could feel your compassion for the person or character in this one, in your voice and in your wording. And the glowing angel in the prison cell and then the story that you pulled out of this is actually quite remarkable. Another gem for sure.
Well, thank you. Do you want me to read this last poem, Deb, or do you want to talk about something else right now?
Well, along with the compassion in your voice, I also think you sound like you just might be getting a little bit tired, so we can either gab and close out the show with it, or we can just say what's coming up and let you read and go to bed. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, let me read this last one and get it over with, and then we can gab and have a good time.
Okay.
Deborah, this poem, I used a lot of stuff that I learned from you from writing to these picture prompts and color crayons and word banks and stuff, and I kind of condensed it into this poem, and it's kind of trippy. It's called 3 a.m. Dreaming, and it's got a little Alice in Wonderland and a little Stairway to Heaven in it, so it goes like this. Demons' damage of my cervical vertebrae show me invitations into my living room and the purple evening light. alone with my dog, pitch blend night, veins of silver fluttering up on my windowsills. Oh, it makes me wonder. Illuminates my living room theater, glimpses of European architecture filtered through Alice in Wonderland, bifocals and iridium smoke rings from a hookah-smoking caterpillar, bearing a tattoo that says, I love Mary Jane, on his indigo left foot. Alice was here, said he. She's sure all that glitters is gold. Oh, it makes me wonder. Such a large black dog, is he dangerous? Caterpillar questioned to me at 3 a.m. He doesn't like cocky caterpillars. Nice doggy. Caterpillar hookah smoking, smoker cajoling, rings of smoke through the trees, calls the demons from my neck to those who stand watching or looking. This waking dream caresses me in quantum bites of Planck's ruler, blows around me in lavender undertows. He who shines the white light and wants to show how everything still turns to gold somehow. This make-believe alchemy turning straw into gold in its amber hues of Rapunzel's time signature unfolds. Visions to the northwest, the devil's daughters dancing in front, their three-piece band, searing guitar riffs, razor edge, cuts my emerald litten reverie. Dark mahogany mane creature with a voice of honey echoes inside my bottomless vortex of desire to her vocal stylings. Another vixen with hair of cotton candy, long legs carved from Egyptian quartzite, veined in shadows of her musculature, perfect feet stacked into glistening pitch black heels. She struts a syncopated pair of sexy stilts, seesawing their way across an imaginary stage. My queen kissed me, saying, dost thou like my girls, David? Better than little old me. Long wave laughter from the dark mother. She knows she owns my soul and home.
Well, this came out really cool. And I recognize some of the song lyrics and stuff inside. And talk about name dropping. Alice was here. She said she's sure all that glitters is gold. Like it was just, and he doesn't like cocky caterpillars. That made me giggle. I see what you mean about this being trippy. It's like this tap dance through all kinds of different scenes. The devil's daughters dancing in front, their three-piece bands, searing guitar riffs, razor edge. Really, really cool.
Is a band called the Devil's Daughters. And when I was writing this, I had Pandora playing, and this thing came on. And I thought, God damn, that's pretty good, you know. And so I watched that thing, and it shows these two girls, and that's the banner picture is Devil's Daughters, and the one in the white top is the one with the cotton candy hair, and the other one is a dark haired gal. So they really exist.
Makes me wonder.
Yeah, really awesome.
Thank you. Oh, this has been so much fun. I've really enjoyed myself tonight, you guys. Thank you so much for this. I appreciate it.
It was a
first time anybody's ever done this.
Yeah,
great.
I really take a lot of joy out of the feeling I get as each person shows you what poem they brought. And you're like, oh wow, this one, or the memory that you had a few moments ago from that 7-year-old poem, the emotion that you got
mm-hmm.
from the Rainbow Bridge poem. So I think that it's a, you know, we all need an attaboy or attagirl now and then, and it's nice to get them. I feel really bad that yours didn't go last month when it was supposed to. And with this being a holiday weekend, you know, it was a little bit harder. But I didn't want to keep postponing it or looking for a better date because you know how that goes. I didn't want it to go by the wayside. So I'm glad we got in there. You got some amazing poetry that was shared on the board tonight. And I'm really, really glad that we started with that introduction, too, because – think about it. It's about 5 years we've been spending time with this chick, so I don't know.
Yeah. I know, Deb. You know, I wish I'd give you a hug right now. You're just one of the dearest hearts that I know on all poetry, and you've been one of my favorite ladies since I've known you. You know, and we have so much fun together, and you're making me a better poet in spite of myself.
Aww.
And I'm learning how to write shorter stuff. You know, I've been working on that.
I have noticed that, Dave. I definitely have noticed that. And I think that the ability to take your words and compact them and still tell a full circle story is quite an accomplishment. And, I mean, my goodness, it's like we're poets, so sometimes we have short attention spans where you enthrall us in less words and you keep attention longer. So there's all kinds of little ways.
You know,
but
what got me writing shorter brevity, trying to compact more, was the question of between two poems, who's going to read a three stanza compared to a nine stanza? Which one's going to get read more? And of the choice.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I kept that in the back.
I agree.
Yeah. I kept that in the back of my head. And a lot of times I split them. If I go a little tangent with something, I'll keep writing it, but then I'll split them up and have two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard transition.
I do. If you look, you'll notice that the longer your poems are, the less people finish reading and take the time to comment on. But whatever.
Yeah.
And remember. If you want, don't you remember?
Yeah,
that's what's powerful about the beginning and ending lines in the school of Hatter, anyway.
Right? Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree. You're absolutely spot on, Hatter. I was just thinking that very same thing myself. You know, you get more of your poems read if they're in brevity than if they're, you know, 500 words like I write. So, you know, but a lot of times it depends on what you're trying to put across in the subject. You know, it's really difficult. You can't do a brevity on the creation of the universe. It's impossible, you know.
Right.
And I've had a lot of people speak up to me and say, Dave, this poem was long. I've actually had them comment and say, this poem was long, but I really liked the way you set it up and you made it interesting that way, you know. And I like to try and put the reader right in there so that they're looking at a picture, you know. And I think if we can, my take on poetry and writing is to elicit some sort of an emotional response inside the person. You know, when I read your poetry, every time I read your poetry, Deb or Hatter, either one of you, I get that feeling inside. It inspires me to write something. Maybe not the same, but it doesn't matter where that spark comes from. I get it from you guys, and that's the sign of a good writer, if you can initiate that in someone else, you know. I can't say enough about being on all poetry, and it has improved my writing exponentially. I mean, I know it has, and I think we all benefit from that. We have such a good group in ATOV, and we all learn stuff from each other, and it's a nice community, and it's not political, and you don't have to worry about offending people most of the time. That's worth $1 million to me, I think.
Yeah, it's not that we don't deal with it now and then, but we do try to nip it in the bud. Yeah, take a little bit of knowledge. Today was National Creativity Day.
Today is?
And today is National Creativity Day, also National Hole in My Bucket Day, Water of Power Day.
Wow.
Go figure.
Holy cow.
And yeah, I got to throw that in there every show, just to say.
That's cool. Well,
being able to write brevity. If you'll come back when you do longer ones again, you'll have more. You'll understand the importance of the words, and you will stop any redundancy. That I used to have that all the time. I would say the same thing, just different words. And when I caught myself, even though they're great lines, I would have to put them in a file and use them later if I could. People seem to understand when you write a piece of brevity, let's say a three stanza verse, and there's a beginning and end in the middle, just like through there, and you get that, and people comment on it. That's the whole thing. It's all here, and it's the same kind of comment you make with the 16th. It's more, it's an appreciation of the puzzle, and that's all we do is put these puzzles together. And then when you start, like I said, you go to brevity, concentrate on that, and you go back writing longer stuff again. You'll have a different attitude. You'll create it differently, and that's a good thing. That's a growing thing in writing.
Yeah, it is. Well, I have found that it's really, really fun and challenging to write brevity, and to say something that you really mean and want to get across, and being able to do it in less words than I normally do,
And if you have trouble, find one with word limits. Find a contest with word limits.
Yeah,
that'll force you to do it. That'll force you to do it. Yeah, I want to take this time to thank everybody for showing up and participating in tonight's show, tribute to Dave Prophet. It's been enjoyable rereading all of his work, most of his work. You always get my mind going thinking, David. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
I would try naming everybody, but I would get it wrong. They know who they are. Thank you. Anybody that listens to this, this is ATOV Radio. Deborah Lee, can't do it without you. Thank you so much. Dave, congratulations. It was Prophet Night.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, we got about 2 minutes left. You want to play, what song would you like to hear, Dave? Anything we got that you know we have?
Just Stairway to Heaven, if you got it. This is our one of my deals. Oh, cool.
I think have it.
Cool.
And I say congratulations, David. I'm glad you had a fun time. Thank you to everyone who called and or put a poem on the board for David to read. Amazing poetry tonight. I had a good time too. And tune in tomorrow at 10 p.m. for Personal Prompts Monday. If you don't have your picture yet, go put a number on my topic board. I'll put it up in a moment. In the meantime, we're out of here, filled with love and respect. Congrats again, David.
Thank you, sweetie.
Baby, oh, you've given me stairway to heaven.
Roll.
Led Zeppelin.
Love that song.
I show Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats
have
again,
it.
David.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
Good
you guys are
it.
The best. Just the best. Good night.
See you later.
Respect, everyone. See you tomorrow. Thanks, Hatter.
Thank you, David.
Night.